I've asked Duncan Gilman up for a very impromptu solo, and if you don't know the song he's going to sing, shame on you.
It's not a solo. I think we should all sing, because you all know the song. I wore, as a little hint, I wore my Kermit the Frog tie tonight for this very occasion. So let's sing together. Why are there so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side?
Very good. They did it better than I did.
That's beautiful. That's enough. That's great. Wow. So, I gotta say, I never knew there were so many songs about rainbows. That may be the only one I know. But I'm walking the shul through the woods this evening, and it's just beautiful. And the sun, this orb of orange, is just touching and kissing the tops of the trees. And I was thinking about these other times I walk through the woods, and you see a rainbow so often at this time of year, because normally it's raining. And the rainbow, of course, figures so deeply in this week's Parsha, Parshat Noach, because we hear and we learn after the great flood, when God has looked at what his own desires have wrought and the destruction of humanity, God declares, "Never again will I cause such destruction, and the rainbow will be my sign to you in the future." This is actually the language of the Torah tells us that it's a brit, a covenant. And we know all about covenants in our tradition. Brit Milah on the eighth day is how we welcome a baby boy into the community. Abraham, Brit HaBitarim, the brit of the parts where that he walks in between. There are numerous covenants, and a covenant is our deepest agreement between two parties. And certainly in this case, it is God's deepest agreement with humanity that there will never be wrought again a destruction caused by God. It's beautiful. Now, our medieval commentators weren't dummies. And they asked, so wait a second, this rainbow, did it suddenly come into being after the flood? Did God change the nature of the world and the rules of physics in order that we could have a rainbow in the sky? And Ramban Nachmanides says, absolutely not. There's no miracle, no change. If you held up a little container full of water next to the sun, you'll see the colors of the rainbow reflected in that. There's no change in the physics of the world. Rather, what has changed is the meaning of the rainbow. The rainbow has become a symbol of something that is new. And that's a remarkable comment from the 13th century. Forget what it says about the fact that we don't need to read our Torah in a ridiculous, non-scientific way. It's telling us that symbols and signs change based on what's happening, and on this brit, this covenant between God and humanity. Now, I have a lot of deep connection to rainbows, and Kermit a little bit, because my Hebrew name is David Keshet Abdiel, which if I were Native American, I would translate as beloved rainbow servant of God. And that is actually what my Hebrew name means. But this notion of covenant after natural disaster has really been resonating for me, because I'm sure we've all been looking at what's happened in Florida. And I have to tell you, maybe this is that New York cynic in me. I am amazed that this has taken so long to happen. Every time it becomes hurricane season, I have been waiting with bated breath, hoping and praying it would not come, but expecting that a Category 4 or 5 would hit land in full force and with total devastation. We've only lost 11 people so far, but I am sure that in the weeks to come, the death toll will rise as a consequence of that. And you know what angers me? We knew about this. This is not a tsunami that comes with no warning. We know that our storms are strengthening. We understand we can look at radars and Dopplers, and we have options. You know, if you go to Holland, they have built these massive seawalls because they live at sea level, and they understand that sea levels are rising, and they are already planning for the next level of technology in a changing world because they understand that they have a breach, a covenant with their citizens. They understand the fate of so many people is at stake. And they are taking action that's necessary. And I look at my country, and we turn a blind eye, and we don't make the investments that can ensure that people can live safely as these storms will continue to come our way. It wasn't that long ago, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, when almost no one lived along the Florida coast, where our investment in infrastructure and real estate was relatively low, but we have billions of dollars at stake, and I guarantee you more of us like living on the coast than in Kansas or Cleveland. I certainly do. And that tells me that we as a society have to really think about what our choices are and what our obligations are. We need a Brit Chadasha, like this is told here, a new covenant, not between God and humanity, but between our society and ourselves. Are we expected to pay $5 billion every time one of these storms comes to land to save money in the short term? Is that the obligation? Is that what God expects out of us? I'm furious because there is so much loss and we're doing nothing to change it. So here's what I want to offer us. Because I walk through those woods and sometimes I see the rainbow and I wonder what's on the other side. We have the choice on what's on the other side of the next rainbow that will shine when the next superstorm hits. We have the choice to be rational, to take measures, to build a world in which we can exist as humans, even as conditions in the environment change. I want you, every time you see a rainbow, and we're gonna see a lot of them in the weeks to come, I want you to think about what Ramban Nachmanides said, that the rainbow's always there, but the meaning of the rainbow can change. And I want you to think about what it is that we as a society can and should do in changing environmental times. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.